California Coastal Commission meeting of Friday, July 9th. And could we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Reese.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Bloom.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Clerk present.
Commissioner Gurney.
Here.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And let's ask staff to go over the changes in the agenda, and then we'll take the public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First up for the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, please fill out a speaker slip, and they're located on the table just outside the meeting room. And when you're in the meeting room, please turn off all cell phones or other wireless devices. They interfere with our webcast. Next, I'll go over the changes for today's agenda. Starting on page 10, there's no changes. Page 11, item 9A. County of LA application moved to consent. We have a new addition item to your memo, and that's item 10A. The City of LA amendment application is postponed.
Okay.
Moving on to page 12, item 14A, the Broviac application moved to consent. On to page 13, item 18A, City of Solano Beach, move to consent. Item 18A, T-Mobile application is I'm sorry, 18B, T-Mobile application is postponed. Item 19A, the Holmes Family Trust AB Mountain Association amendment is postponed. And then finally, on your on your meeting notice addendum, item 14B, Delia Pena, move to consent. All right. And I'd also like to note at the end of the hearing today, we will need a closed session.
That's okay. I got this.
And that concludes today's agenda changes.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to start with public comment, and we have several speaker slips. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes, and the first speaker is Patty Stewart, followed by James Stewart and Stephen Werlin. Come on forward, and then just state your name for the record and speak into the microphone. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for having us in today. And my name is Patty Stewart. And we would like to thank you for your site visit to Lawson's Landing yesterday. When I was listening to your biologist during the tour of the meadows, I heard him say that the ditches there were created by the Corps of Engineers. I have been told by the USDA that artificial wetlands are not under the same buffer restrictions and should not be classified the same as naturally occurring wetlands. I believe this should have some bearing in your decision. Thank you.
All right, thank you. James Stewart? Wait a minute, she's finished.
Hi, my name is Jim Stewart. I'm a general contractor, and I would first like to thank the Coastal Commission for giving us this opportunity to address the issue on Lawson's Landing. I grew up going to Lawson's Landing. I grew up going there fishing, clamming, camping. I met a lot of great people at this place. Then when my wife and I had our two daughters, they also grew up going to Lawson's Landing, building sandcastles, playing in the sand dunes, and having a lot of good family times. This is one of the only places that I know you can still go, let your kids kind of be kids again and not have to worry about them next door, down at the corner, something happened to them. My youngest daughter met her husband at Lawson's Landing, and now my grandson, who's 3 years old, is coming to Lawson's Landing. I hope he has the opportunity to go there the rest of his life. Lawson's Landing is the only place that I know in Marin County where a common working man can go enjoy it without costing him an arm and a leg. In closing, I would like to say I thought it was part of the purpose of the Coastal Commission to preserve low-cost public access to the coast. And loss of landing gives us that opportunity. Thank you for letting me speak.
All right. Thank you, sir. Stephen Werlin.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Steve Werlin. I've been a trailer owner and user of Lawson's Landing for the last 25 years. I, too, would like to thank you for coming to the landing yesterday so that you can better understand the property and what it has to offer to the public, especially the low and middle income public. As Mr. Lester alluded to yesterday, members of the public and owners of the so-called permanent trailers filed a lawsuit against Marin County to determine how many of the permanent trailer RV spaces constitute legal nonconforming status. A neutral arbitrator agreed upon by Marin County Council and our representative ruled that 150 RV spaces predated county and state permit requirements or laws, including the Coastal Act, and therefore constitute a legal nonconforming use. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a cardiologist. I can't speak to the legal distinction between a vested right and a legal nonconforming use, but the experts say there is one. Tim Cazzini, our representative who addressed you yesterday, submitted a letter. I submitted copies of that letter again today, and he will be submitting further arguments on our behalf. This mutually agreed upon binding arbitration warrants strong consideration as you form your decisions about the future and number of permanent trailer RV spaces that will be allowed at Lawson's. I therefore submit to you that a reasonable compromise would be that the 150 grandfather trailers remain unfettered and that the remaining 63 trailers either be terminated or subject to the county's conditions. Annual rental income from these trailers keeps Lawson's Landing afloat during the quiet winter months and allows Lawson's Landing to keep the camping fees low, allowing the lower and middle income people to continue to use the landing. The demographics of the users of Lawson's Landing, as you have heard, are largely working class Californians. I've seen over 20 years Boy Scout troops, church camps, youth groups, special ed groups all come to the landing so these kids can experience this special environment. The diverse population includes a large Asian population coming up from Oakland and San Francisco, an increasing large number of Hispanic families coming from as far away as San Jose. All are coming here because of what Lawson's Landing offers. In closing, I encourage you, please, balance your concerns for the environment against the overriding issue of public access, which Lawson's Landing provides. Thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Mike Lawson.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Chair Neely, and members of the Commission. I'm Mike Lawson from Lawson's Landing. I would like to start by thanking the Commission for taking the time to visit Lawson's Landing yesterday. Although the logistics did not go exactly as planned, the Commission did get a glimpse of our important coastal resources and the lower-cost visitor-serving amenities we provide. As background, the Lawson family has lived, worked, and recreated at the Landing for nearly 90 years. Since 1957, the Lawsons have provided one of the largest coastal recreation sites in California, offering tens of thousands of families each year the opportunity to be able to afford to stay overnight along the coast. Prices for tent, RV, travel trailers, day use, fishing, and boating are comparable with California public state parks without requiring ongoing state subsidies. I'd like to share three brief points. First, we appreciate the initial focus during our field trip on unique coastal resources. We strongly support protecting coastal resources at Lawson's Landing. Over the years, we have gained an increased understanding of the ecological importance of the Tamales Dunes, coastal wetlands, the Dillon Beach habitat and water quality, and other coastal resources. We are very proud that the beach at the Landing is consistently listed as one of the cleanest beaches along the California coast. We are continually expanding environmental education and outreach for all of our visitors. We are improving management approaches to minimize impacts to coastal resources. For example, we propose completely prohibiting camping in wetlands at Lawson's Landing. Second, our shortened field trip yesterday did not allow enough time for you all to see the lower-cost visitor-serving amenities we provide. Some of these including lower-cost tent and RV camping at the coast, affordable travel trailer recreational use, coastal access open to all, fishing, boating, boat rentals, boat repairs, kayaking, hiking, and other low-cost visitor-serving amenities, and water-dependent recreation. Lastly, we appreciate the input, time, and hard work that coastal staff, the county, the environmental community, and thousands of camping and access supporters have all invested into the planning process to achieve an economically sustainable CDP master plan that lays out a blueprint to guide the protection of the coastal resources, maintain affordable coastal access, and protect lower-cost overnight visiting serving opportunities for all Californians. We are proposing to further minimize impacts to coastal resources. With more than 200 historic campsites have already been eliminated, over 100 historic campsites are additionally proposed to be removed, which will minimize indirect impacts to coastal wetlands and protect other coastal resources. Camping will be clustered on less sensitive areas. Specific campsites will be delineated to manage the further minimize the footprint of camping. An improved reservation system will further reduce the intensity of tent and RV camping to avoid camping in areas during more sensitive times of the season. Our approach to design and manage with nature can, one, minimize impacts to coastal resources, two, maintain access, and three, protect lower-cost coastal campground, recreation area, and other very low-cost serving amenities for generations to come. When it is time for your decision in the coming months, please consider the past decades of affordable family recreation and future decades offering hundreds of thousands of future families from all walks of life the opportunity to experience the coast at Lawson's Landing. Please see the three-page history and overview document on Lawson's Landing, and if anyone has any questions, I would be happy to answer them. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lawson, and thank you for your part in arranging the tour yesterday. Harolyn Nelson?
Good morning, Commission Chair, members of the Commission, staff, and members of the audience. My name is Harolyn Nelson, and I have been a trailer owner for 6 years at Lawson's Landing. I have been going there for 42 years. My parents owned a trailer for 38 years there, but they both passed away. I worked for the City of Vacaville before I retired in 2008. I was an administrative assistant, and I was also a recording secretary for the Parks and Recreation Commission. You're probably aware that the byline of the California Parks and Recreation Society is we create community through people, parks, and programs. I feel that Lawson's Landing is a community. People go there. It's affordable. Since I've retired, it's something that I can afford. And my son is the third generation. My granddaughter will be the fourth generation that can go there. And I really hope that she can camp. And believe me, if I didn't have a trailer, I would be camping there. And I love the coast. It's been my refuge through a lot of difficult times in my life. It's a peaceful place. We all have our place of peace, and Lawson's Landing is mine. So I hope you consider that. Thank you for coming yesterday on the site visit, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
All right. Thank you. And that's the last public comment speaker I have. Did we miss anyone in the audience that wished to address the commission this morning on matters that are not on the agenda? Okay, thank you. And let's go back to staff now and start the regular agenda.
Yes, the next item up is item number 4, and these are consent calendar permits for the Los Angeles County portion of the South Coast District. There is an addendum for item 14B, the Fuchs application, adding a landscaping condition for any disturbed areas resulting from the project. And staff is not aware of any opposition to the consent calendar, and recommends the commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
All right. Thank you, staff. Commissioners, have any ex parte communications? Seeing none, the pleasure of the commission.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, second by Commissioner Juan, to approve the consent calendar. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on the consent calendar? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
The next item is item 5, is the consent calendar for the San Diego District. There is only one item, and we are not aware of any public opposition to this item. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve the consent calendar.
Okay, thank you. Any ex parte communications on item 5A? Seeing none, the pleasure of the commission.
Move consent item for approval.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez and a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
The next item up is item number 6, and this is the deputy director's report for both Orange and L.A. counties for the South Coast District. And again, this is a list of the waivers, immaterial amendments, and immaterial extensions for the district. Staff is not aware of any opposition to the district director's report and recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination on these matters.
Okay, let me check with the commission to see if there are any objections to concurrence. Seeing none, the commission concurs.
Item number 7 are the regular calendar permit items. Staff is recommending move to the consent calendar, and staff is recommending one item be moved to the consent calendar for LA County, and that is item 9A, the Los Angeles County application. There is a staff report addendum for this item, adding a provision to Special Condition 2 that requires all seeds and cuttings for revegetation be from sources in or adjacent to the Los Cerritos wetlands. And with that, staff recommends the commission vote and approve this application.
All right. Any ex parte communications on this item? Seeing none, the pleasure of the commission. Commissioner Secord?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Bloom, the maker and seconder, recommending a yes vote. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
Next item up is item 8A, and this is a substantial issue hearing on appeal of a City of Manhattan Beach coastal development permit for the Manhattan Beach Open Volleyball Tournament. The appellant is William Victor. The applicant is the Association of Volleyball Professionals, or AVP. Staff is recommending the commission find that no substantial issue exists in this case with respect on which the grounds which the appeal has been filed. The proposed development is the annual AVP volleyball tournament scheduled for August 9th through the 22nd of this year. The project includes the construction of temporary volleyball courts, bleachers to accommodate 3,500 people, and other related structures on the beach. The event occurs over a 13-day period, including setup and breakdown of the facilities, and the volleyball tournament is for 4 days. Now, the commission has heard appeals of the city's local coastal development permits approving this annual event in 1997, 1999, 2001, 2003, 2007, 2008. Now, this appeal raises the same issues the appellant raised in his 2007-2008 appeals to the commission, and the commission found no substantial issue in those cases. Staff did consider this appeal could be possibly a patently frivolous appeal, given the commission has considered these allegations in the past. But if the commission again finds that there's no substantial issue here, staff will reject any future appeals from this appellant if he raises these same arguments. Now, the appellant asserts that the public access is not being protected and public views will be adversely affected by the bleacher seating and the inflatable advertisements associated with this event. The appellant's contentions also center on the AVP agreement with the city rather than conditions of the coastal development permit. Now, the permit does include a number of conditions to protect public access to and along the shoreline, including provision for a free shuttle system to a remote parking lot to move people in and out of the area. Now, from past experience, public access to and along the shoreline has not been an issue here, and the free shuttle system has worked without any problems. And, of course, the exclusive use of the beach is of prime importance to the commission and the city and these AVP events. And, again, this is a traditional annual event, and up to 75% of the seats are free to the public. The event encompasses a limited area of the beach, there's a 50-foot wide lateral access along the shoreline. And with regard to the visual impacts associated with this event, these are, again, temporary advertisements and occupy a relatively small area. And so in staff's opinion, the project is consistent with the policies of the LCP, and the contentions raised by the appellant, in our view, do not raise a substantial issue with regard to consistency of the LCP. And the motion for no substantial issue can be found on page 5 of the staff report.
All right. Thank you, staff.
My presentation.
All right. Any ex parte communications on this item, item 8A? And do we have any speaker slips on this, staff? Okay. So with regard to no substantial issue, we have no speaker slips on the item, so there's will be no need to take public testimony. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Would you like to start over?
Please.
Very well. Madam Chair, I move that the Commission determine that appeal number A-5-MNB-10-124 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. Recommend a yes vote. A no vote.
No, a yes vote.
It is a yes vote. Yes, ma'am. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, second by Commissioner Sanchez. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Sanchez?
No, thank you.
All right. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby finds that appeal number A5-MNB-10-124 raises no substantial issue regarding consistency with the certified local coastal plan. Okay, thank you, staff.
Next item up is item 8B, and this is a substantial issue hearing on appeal of a coastal development permit approved by the City of Los Angeles for the demolition of a one-story, 1,312-square-foot building and construction of a new 1,248-square-foot restaurant with a maximum seating capacity of 47 people in the Venice area of the City of L.A. The applicant is Fran Camage, ADC Development, and the appellants are 1311 AK Properties, LLC, and we did receive a second late appeal from Armand Diaz, and that is in your addendum packet. Now, staff is recommending the commission determine that the appeal raises a substantial issue with respect to the grounds which the appeal has been filed, because approval of this permit may adversely affect public street parking supply that supports coastal access in the Venice Beach area. If the commission determines a substantial issue exists here, the hearing will be continued as a de novo. Now, the issue raised by the appeal is the proposed restaurant is not providing the required number of parking spaces as outlined in the certified land use plan. And as we all know, in Venice, parking on the streets supports coastal access, and available street parking is in very short supply, because the existing residential and commercial development does not have adequate supply. In this case, the applicant is only proposing 6 parking spaces, where 14 is required under the land use plan. Now, the city did approve an in-lieu fee for $18,000 for up to 50% of the required parking spaces. However, this permit did not indicate the exact number or even whether or not the applicant is required to pay the fee. And there's no evidence that payment of the fee of in-lieu fee to the city will actually mitigate the parking in this case, because the city has been collecting these fees for many, many years and has never actually provided a parking lot or other parking improvements. So with that, staff is recommending a substantial issue exists in this case. So unless 3 or more commissioners wish to hear additional arguments and vote on the substantial issue question, substantial issue is deemed to exist, and we'll bring this back, the de novo, back at a later hearing.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any ex parte communications on item 8B? Seeing none, are there three or more commissioners who object to the finding of substantial issue? And seeing none, substantial issue has been found.
Okay, that takes us to the South Coast District, Orange County. And item 11, the Deputy Director's report was just reported by Jack as item number 6. And item number 12 are the items removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. There's two, item 14A, 510-45, Broviac, and item 14B, 509-208, De La Pena. Staff has worked out all the issues with the applicants on these two items. We are not aware of any public opposition. In the addendum, there's a letter of support from the neighbor on item 14A, and there's ex parte communications on 14B. Unless there are questions from the commission, staff recommends that these items be approved on the consent calendar.
Okay, thank you. First, let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications on the consent calendar items 14A and 14B. Commissioner Stone?
I do have an ex parte on 14B, and it's on file.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah.
On ex parte? Oh, thank you. Commissioner Secord, sorry.
An ex parte is on file with respect to item 14B. It consisted of a telephone call between myself and Susan McCabe, who was supportive of the staff recommendation.
All right, and my ex partes are on file as well. Okay, thank you, Commissioner Blank. Did I miss anyone? Yes, okay. Thank you, Commissioner. And this is a consent. These are moved to the consent calendar. We have two people who have asked to address the commission. One is only for questions, Mr. Kaufman, and the other is Greg Abel. Did you want to address? No? Okay. All right. So.
Move the consent calendar, Madam Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Schallenberger, the maker and seconder, recommending approval of the consent calendar. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 13A is the request to extend the 60-day time limit for commission action on an implementation plan amendment for a site known as Parkside in the city of Huntington Beach. The commission approved the land use plan for this segment of the city in November of 2007, and this amendment is to establish the implementation plan for that same site. The staff needs additional time to review this amendment and is requesting the commission approve a one-year time extension. The city is aware of the request, and the motion to extend the time limit is at the bottom of the page one of the staff report.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any ex partes on this item? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission? Commissioner Secord?
Madam Chair, I move the commission extended the time limit to act on the City of Huntington Beach LCP Implementation Plan Amendment Number 2-10 for a period of 1 year. Ask for a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Schallenberger, the maker and seconder, recommending a yes vote regarding the time extension. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the time extension is approved.
Okay, that takes us to item 15, and this is the San Diego District now. This is the Deputy Director's report for the San Diego District. It includes the waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions for this district. There is only one waiver to report today and one non-material extension for which we haven't received any adverse comments during the 10-day notice period. That concludes the district director's report, and unless there's any questions, staff recommends that the commission concur with the executive director.
Thank you, staff. Any objections to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 16 are the items removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. There's one item, 18A, 610-29, the City of Solana Beach. These conditions are acceptable to the city. We have no letters of opposition or are aware of any public opposition, and therefore staff recommends this item be approved on the consent calendar.
All right. Any ex parte communications on this consent calendar item? Seeing none, the pleasure of the commission.
Move the consent calendar.
We have a motion by?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, second by Commissioner Sanchez, the maker and seconder, recommending a yes vote on the consent calendar. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, consent calendar is approved.
And the next item is 17A. This is City of Del Mar LCP Amendment 1-09. And it involves one change to the city's certified land use plan and a number of changes to the certified implementation plan. It's part of the revitalization efforts for its downtown business district, and the city is proposing several changes to its parking regulations. The downtown core is called the Village Center and extends from Camino del Mar, which is Highway 1, for about 6 to 7 blocks between 9th Street and 15th Street on the north. Most of the area is included in the central commercial zone. The change to the land use plan is to clarify the definition of shared use parking arrangements by specifying that there can be no substantial overlap in the hours of operation for the affected businesses. And in addition, the policy revision would increase the possible use of shared parking from 15% to 66% of the total required off-street parking spaces for a project. The city is recommending, or the staff is recommending, the commission approve the land use plan amendment as submitted. The amendment would simply allow for the increased use of shared parking arrangements and be managed and enforced through the permitting process. For the certified implementation plan, the city is proposing revisions to 3 existing code sections that address its common, shared, and off-site parking standards. The proposed changes to the common parking and shared parking regulations are not significant and correspond to the proposed land use plan changes. The proposed change to the off-site parking regulations provide for a new definition of off-site parking, the exclusion of residential uses, an increase from 300 feet to 500 feet for the specified walking distance between the development and the provided parking, the exclusion of the hotel and plaza specific plan areas from the off-site parking program, increased signage and noticing provisions on both the project and off-site parking sites, and adds a 6-month reassessment period prior to the expiration of the lease for the off-site parking lot. These revisions strengthen the existing regulations and we believe are consistent with commission precedents in this area. The city also proposes the adoption of 2 new code sections, one which allows the possible reduction of off-street parking in order to comply with accessible parking provisions, and the other which establishes a new in-lieu parking fee program for the central commercial zone. The monies generated from the in-lieu fees would be used to create a municipal parking lot and to operate a shuttle service in the Village Center. And for the proposed implementation plan amendment, staff is recommending that the commission first reject the proposed amendment and then approve it with suggested modifications to address the issues we see with the in-lieu fee parking program. The primary concerns raised by the in-lieu fee program are the absence of a direct mandate for the operation of the shuttle system for the consolidated off-site public parking facilities. Also, the lack of any threshold for when the parking facilities and the shuttle must be established. There is inclusion of a future but unspecified off-street parking program that could be implemented. And there's a lack of any specification for the proposed shuttle to serve the Central Beach area as well as the Village Center. Staff has proposed to address these deficiencies in the suggested modification that's on page 7 of the staff report. The most significant change in the modification is the establishment of a threshold by when the city must be operating both the municipal parking facility and a companion shuttle, or the program must be discontinued or at least suspended. And the identified threshold is the issuance of in-lieu fees for no more than 50 parking spaces. We understand there's a need to initiate the program and to generate funds to develop both the parking facility and the shuttle service, but feel there must be some point when both these components are implemented. The loss of 50 parking spaces on a permanent basis is the threshold, we think, where beyond which we would expect to see some adverse effects on coastal access. There is limited beach access along much of the Village Center due to the bluffs and the railroad corridor, but it's still a busy area, and residents like to enjoy the scenic vistas available from the bluff tops, and increased parking deficiencies along Camino del Mar could lead to congestion and diminished coastal access. therefore, as modified to require the implementation of both the shuttle and the off-site parking program, the Commission can find the proposed use of the in-lieu fees to support alternate transit opportunities and consolidated public parking facilities consistent with the certified land use plan. The city has indicated they're in agreement with the staff recommendation, and it's my understanding they may not be in attendance today. We have received a letter of objection from one party. There's a letter attached to the staff report as well as in the addendum. The letters first expressed concern about the establishment of the in-lieu fee, parking fee, and possible differential treatment of commercial property owners. Based on our discussions with the city, we believe these concerns are more appropriately addressed at the city level. They relate to administration of the program. The other issue raised by Mr. Peck is that the recommended allowance for the in-lieu fee parking fee permits to be used before requiring both the parking facilities and the shuttle be in operation, and recognizing that a 50-space bus deficit might potentially remain for some indefinite period, is unacceptable. Mr. Peck is a longtime commercial property owner and feels the downtown district has been historically underparked, and any deficit would be problematic. While this concern might be a legitimate one, the coastal act issue is whether or not such a parking deficiency would result in a coastal access impediment. As we've noted, this stretch of the city is not the prime beach access area. They're situated further north, while this segment is separated by the bluffs and the railroad corridor from the beach. Therefore, again, staff is recommending that the Commission support the proposed amendment with the suggested modification, and the appropriate resolutions and motions begin on page 5, and the suggested modification is on page 7. And that concludes staff's report.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners, starting on my left. None? All right. We have no speaker slips on this item. So does the staff have anything to add? Nothing? Okay. Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the Commission certify the land use plan amendment for the City of Del Mar as submitted and recommend a yes vote.
Second. We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Juan. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
Just briefly, I think that the staff has taken a good look at this and worked with the city on some changes that'll make it happen. Make it work.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Juan?
Yes, I'm obviously going to vote for this, but I do have some concerns, sort of overall concerns about the sort of trend of that I see frequently of cities that continually reduce parking requirements and then put off. In this case, staff, for example, was recommending that the time at which the in-lieu fees and shuttle service should start would be at 25 spaces. The city put it at 50 spaces. It does concern me because we see this repeatedly. We had one no substantial issue substantial issue, I guess, that we found in Venice, where the cities put this off, and eventually it leads to requests for preferential parking and does eventually result in problems for the public. I'm going to support this, but I just wanted to express my concerns about those kinds of things as they take place. They incrementally are going to affect the public's ability to get to the beach.
All right. Any other comments from commissioners? Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies the land use plan amendment for the City of Del Mar. Thank you.
Second motion.
You already gave a motion.
There's three motions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, carry on then, Commissioner Sanchez.
I move that the Commission reject the implementation program amendment for the City of Del Mar LCP as submitted and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, second by Commissioner Juan. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the implementation program amendment and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to this motion, Commissioner?
No, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Juan? Okay. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby denies certification of the implementation program amendment submitted for the City of Del Mar LCP. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I move that the Commission certify the implementation program for the City of Del Mar LCP if it is modified as suggested in the staff report and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the implementation program with a suggested modification. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner? Commissioner Schallenberger?
Thank you.
All right. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies the implementation program amendment for the city of Del Mar. And that's the conclusion of that item. Thank you.
Okay, and item 19B is the last item on today's agenda. It's 685-283A Andrews. I'd like to draw your attention to the addendum. There is a response from the applicant, ex parte communications. There's a letter of opposition to the amendment and in support of the staff recommendation. There's a revised exhibit number 2 and an exhibit showing the original required open space, and that's in the green addendum. I'd also like to mention that there are a number of exhibits that were submitted by the applicant and specifically requested be included as part of the staff report. They were attached in their entirety in the online version of the staff report only, and the note was in the hard copy indicating their availability. We also have attached to the staff report 3 letters of opposition to this amendment. It is a request to, and I have a PowerPoint on this item, please. Excuse me. PowerPoint, please. I should have asked sooner. This is a request to amend the coastal development permit previously issued by the commission to modify the boundaries of an open space deed restricted area on a 2.43-acre site containing an existing 3,000 square foot single family residence. And the first slide will show this site location. It's at 2081 Gatun Street in the city of Del Mar. The site is located immediately south of San Diego Drive, which forms the southern boundary of the San Diego River Valley. And this is the site of a major wetland restoration project by SoCal Edison that was required as mitigation for the San Onofre power plant. The area shown in blue indicates that the river valley is designated and preserved as the multi-species habitat planning area in the City of San Diego LCP, and it is the part of the NCC sub-area plan. Slide number 2, thank you, is an aerial showing the site and its relationship to the San Diego Lagoon and its environs. I think we need some. Here is the site. And this is San Diego Drive. This is the San Diego River Valley. And that direction is south. The original proposal was for a lot line adjustment that revised the lot lines and established 2 building sites on the 2 revised lots. And there was also construction of a single-family residence on parcel 1. And this exhibit 3 is the exhibit, or slide 3 is the exhibit 3 that's referenced in the open space condition for the original approval. The crosshatch shows that the remainder of the site descending down to San Diego Drive is required to be deed restricted as open space. And these were the previous lot lines that was revised to establish these 2 parcels. And the purpose was to avoid building area in the lower reaches of the properties and to relocate the building sites to the southern higher elevation. So previously, the homes would have been required to be constructed, or at least one home on this lot in the lower reaches. And with this lot line adjustment, these 2 parcels were created and these 2 building sites created. The findings of the original approval indicate the intent was to avoid development closer to the sensitive downstream resources to allow for a greater buffer between the wetlands and residential development. There was also an acknowledgement the current configuration would require extensive grading fairly close to the wetlands below, and the proximity to the sensitive wetland areas presents the potential threat of erosion and sedimentation to the downstream resources. The special condition number 2 of the original approval prohibited any alteration of natural landforms, removal of existing vegetation, or the erection of structures of any type unless approved by the Coastal Commission on that area shown on Exhibit 3, which again is Slide 3. However, the applicant is currently processing a tentative map through the City of Del Mar for a lot split to allow construction of a single-family residence in the area proposed to be removed from the open space through this amendment. And slide four. Yes. There we go. Slide 4 shows the existing and revised open space areas. On the left is, this is just the southern reach of, or the northern and lower reach of the property, and shows the green shows the existing open space designation. On the right, this area that's in white here is what's being proposed to be removed from the open space deed restriction area. It would remove about 0.42 acres from the existing deed restriction and would allow for future subdivision of the lot into 1.5 and 0.93 acre parcels. And slide 5 is the proposed tentative map that's pending at the City of Del Mar. Although the City of Del Mar has a certified LCP and permit authority, development of the site requires an amendment to the CDP previously issued by the Coastal Commission, and this amendment must be approved prior to the lot split or the home construction. Staff is recommending denial of this revision to the open space for a number of reasons. The next few slides show the nature of the open space area. Slide 6 is a vegetation map. It shows the southern portion is steep slopes and natural habitat area of southern mixed chaparral. The northern and lower portion that's proposed to be removed from open space is non-native vegetation. Currently, it's primarily ice plant. Slide 7 shows the floodplain mapping from FEMA, and the lower reaches of the property are within, again, the area that's proposed to be removed from the open space, are within the 100-year floodplain. Any proposed construction would have to be elevated above the base flood elevation, or approximately 9 feet above the existing grade. Portions of the area to be removed from the open space would be also be within the 100-foot wetland buffer that is typically the minimum required for new development. And slide 8 shows the potential future building site that has been provided by the applicant. This is the crosshatched area. The applicant was initially requesting only a 50-foot wetland buffer and has modified the proposal at the city and shown that a 100-foot buffer can be provided. However, as you can see here, that portions of the 100-foot buffer would not be retained in open space as proposed by the applicant. And typically in a commission action, if there is a 100-foot buffer, it is part of the open space requirement on the property. Even though the area proposed for future development may have no direct impact on steep slopes or native vegetation and could be located outside of the 100-foot wetland buffer, the area to be removed from open space protection is located within the 100-year floodplain. And slide 9 shows that it is within the scenic view shed of the San Dieguito River Valley. The site is visible from Interstate 5, major coastal access and route and scenic highway. It's also visible from the public trails and viewing areas within the river valley. Therefore, staff is recommending denial of this amendment. The commission action establishing the open space area was appropriate at the time, and we don't feel any change in circumstances that would warrant a different decision today. We also believe it would be an adverse precedent for removal of areas that are previously secured as open space as part of a previous commission action. The lower elevations of the site currently function as the natural wetland buffer, allowing polluted discharges that originate upstream to settle and filter out sediments and pollutants prior to the discharge to the San Diego River Valley and lagoon beyond. This is a valuable function and purpose of the buffer area, as is its function as transitional habitat. The staff feels that, I mean, it could also be a wildlife corridor from the steep, naturally vegetated uplands to the wetlands of the lagoon environment. Staff feels that the area should remain as open space. This is fully consistent with all the provisions of the LCP that protect the habitat and scenic value of the lagoon environment and the purpose and intent of the Bluff Slope and Canyon Overlay Zone in the LCP. We also feel that removal of this area from the open space is not consistent with the open space policies of the LCP. And that'll conclude my comments at this time.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check with the commissioners to see if there are any ex parte communications on item 19B. Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On Tuesday, July 6, I received a telephone communication by Dave Grubb of the Sierra Club on behalf of the Sierra Club North County Coastal Group. This communication was basically a discussion regarding their recommendation for to support staff's recommendation of denial. Basically, we said that the proposed amendment to Coastal Development Permit 6-85-283 involves modifications to deed-restricted open space areas established by Special Condition Number 2. They support staff's recommendation. The deed restriction was mitigation for the original approval and should not be removed. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Juan?
Yes. I received an email from Supervisor Pam Slater-Price, and saying that she was opposed to the lot split and that she was going to submit a detailed letter later. And I believe she did that, sent that to the staff and all of the commissioners.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have an ex parte and it's on file.
All right, anyone else on ex partes? Miss anyone? Okay, we have one speaker slip, Kathy Andrews. And Miss Andrews has requested 10 minutes and that will be fine. Okay, can we bring the PowerPoint up, and then could you just state your record before you start, or state your name for the record, sorry.
I'm Kathy Andrews, owner of the property.
Can you pull the mic up so they can pick up your voice?
I'm Kathy Andrews, owner of the property. Today's the first time that I've heard that the wetland buffer needs to be maintained in the open space easement. How do I do a PowerPoint? Okay. So the original request for amendment was configured in 2008 by a California Coastal Commission planner, Ellen Lyerly. And I think what I need to do today is consider what the deed restriction allows, and rather than asking for the open space to be amended as originally configured by Coastal Commission, just permission to put a house on an eighth of an acre. So all of this is, from what I've just heard, is that the wetland buffer needs to stay in the open space. So the future development is allowed in the deed restriction through amendment or a separate CDP, and a structure is allowed in the open space area with approval as long as it doesn't touch the steep slopes and the native habitat. Next slide, please. This is the configuration from staff planner in 2008. To release that 0.42 acres, and that's how we initiated the project, starting with the deed restriction. And also no release of native habitat, natural steep slopes, and we've kept with that over the years. And when Ms. Lyerly reviewed the original packet, she was looking that the property had never been publicly owned, did not block any public views, and did not block any public access, and that the scraped area, the man-made area, had never removed any native habitat since the time that the deed restriction was put on from 1985 to present. In other words, it had been scraped and graded prior to 1985. and the buildable area was not a valuable habitat area. It is covered in pickleweed. And that CCC did not like invasive species and would welcome re-landscaping to native plants. So the intent has been kept over the years that the buildable area is on the flat area with the ice plant covered areas. Next slide, please. You've just seen this one, and as I'm saying, I just realized today that with the presentation that maybe the original amendment should not have been to move the open space, but rather to ask for a building on that 1/8 acre site. And I think that that needs to occur for that change in the project. Next slide, please. These are the man-made disturbed areas that were originally to come out of the deed restriction. There's that buildable area of 1/8 acre. There's existing easement access road where the road had been bulldozed and then the dirt dumped over the side. And then you can see the wetland buffer area there. All of the ice plant area that is not in the buildable area has been proposed to be re-landscaped according to the Lagoon Committee specifications. Next slide, please. This is a further detail showing no encroachment into the wetland buffer and no encroachment into the open space easement. Next slide, please. This is wording on a letter crafted by Lee McEachern at Coastal Commission to assure that no field modification would be done in the native habitat. There were two requirements, that we not do any field modification in the native habitat, and that we had no encroachments, and we are configured to those conditions at this time. Next slide, please. This is a summary. Also, the easement road has never been paved, and it has an enormous erosion problem every winter. This project, through best management practices, has absolutely no water runoff into the lagoon, and it solves this erosion problem by paving this driveway across our neighbor's property, and we have permission to do that, all the way up to Gilly's property. And we're catching all of that water and having none of that go into the lagoon, and then we're paving the roadway. So we will not have 3-foot ruts and illegal grading by the person who uses that roadway every year. Next slide, please. The overlay conditions have been met at the City of Del Mar. The City of Del Mar staff report has been positive for the recommendations of the tentative parcel map, the CDP, the CUP, and the EA. The CEQA has a mitigated negative declaration on it. Next slide, please. It's been reviewed. This has been reviewed by Coastal Commission Planner Ellen Lyerly. It's been reviewed by head planner Adam Birnbaum, who was a Coastal Commission planner and the original person on the staff report in 1985. He is very familiar with this. This has been reviewed by city planner Gene Crutchfield. It has been gone over by California Fish and Game biologist Paul Schlitt, who provided a recommendation of a reduced wetland buffer due to the environmental barrier of San Diego Road between the property and the lagoon. There's also a pump station there, and there's a parking lot. And what the public good associated with the project originally suggested by California Fish and Game was to provide 1 mile of fencing between the Grand Avenue parking lot along San Diego Road, because the public now has access into the wetland buffer with domestic animals and walking paths that they do not want there. So Fish and Game was very supportive of the project and really wanted us to encumber the project with 1 mile of fencing along San Diego Road to solve the problems of the lagoon. The problems of the lagoon are not from this house. They are from impacts that are already there. San Diego River Park Joint Powers Authority, biologist Sean Anderson visited the property and provided that the Joint Powers Authority does not object to this project. We are not encroaching into the wetland buffer. Notably, Pam Slater-Price was absent from that meeting. I believe that if she had objections, that might have been a good point for her to bring it up. We've done biological reports, veg maps. We've done the ICF Jones and Stokes report to look at what is the effect on the lagoon. And Fish and Game required that because they wanted to know, would this affect wildlife, would it or would it not? And Fish and Game, which protects the lagoon, said there is so much damage in that area from San Diego Road and from the Grand Avenue Viewing Bridge within that 50-foot buffer that the house on the other side of the road doesn't affect it. May I have the next slide, please? So we've been through review. And City of Del Mar supports that the CEQA was negative. The Joint Powers Authority has no objection. The Lagoon Committee, when we presented to them in July of 2009, we provided all of the materials to Don Rawls prior to the meeting and a full presentation at the Lagoon Committee. And Don Rawls, at the end of the meeting, said they had no objection to the lot split but would like some input on the design and of the house. And then the concurrence of Fish and Game and the Conservancy is willing to work with us to provide a public good portion of the project as requested by Herschel Price. He wanted to see public good come from this lot split, and we are working with them to provide that. Next slide, please. So here's the careful planning and the time frame. Next slide, please. In terms of LCP view corridor, it has to be visually compatible with the surrounding area. This is R140 area. Next slide, please. You can't quite see these with all the lights on, but it does show views from the Grand Avenue Bridge, from across from the Riverwalk, and three-quarters of a mile away from the I-5. Next slide, please. So that's behind the white van, behind the pump station, on the other side of the parking lot, is sort of a hazy white outline. The house does not block any views of native habitat. It only blocks views of ice plant. Next slide, please. From Riverwalk, there's a behind the bushes, you can see a little tiny bit of white. There is very little profile of a house from the river view. Next slide. And it's virtually impossible I-5. I have trouble even finding my house, and I've lived there a long time. Next slide. The JPA says even if you're in a focused viewing area, it should not affect your property rights. And this is R140 zoning. Next, please. And so in summary, we're in conformance with the Coastal Act, careful planning. And we are doing no grading, and there is no fill in the property. Completely compliant with Bluff Slope Canyon. We do minimize alteration by natural landforms by not doing any, and we're visually compatible with the surrounding area, and we are restoring and enhancing the visual quality of the degraded areas by re-landscaping and having a public good aspect to the project. And we're in conformance with the deed restriction and the intent of the deed restriction. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's bring it back to staff for comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, just to clarify, the subdivision and the home construction is not what's before you today. Today is just the request for the amendment to the previously issued coastal development permit to remove a 0.42 acre portion of the site from the area that was deed restricted as open space. But regardless of this existing open space designation, if you just look at the property and the constraints on this property, staff believes we wouldn't support subdivision of this property. It contains steep slopes. It contains native habitat. The portion that would be developed is within the 100-year floodplain, and it's within the scenic overlay of the lagoon. The open space nature of the property contributes to the ecological function of the lagoon system, which is immediately across San Diego Drive to the north. The property itself meets the definition of wetland buffer that is contained in the certified LCP, and we don't see any basis to lessen this existing protection. in this case, reasonable use of the property has been obtained. There is no takings issue here. And in terms of her, Ms. Andrews' characterization of the commission staff, you know, proposing this option, I believe that she's likely confused with what was direction from the commission staff as to if anything might be approved on this property, these parameters must be met. It was certainly not endorsement of the proposal to remove this area from open space. And do you have anything?
Yes, Madam Chair, I just wanted to underscore what Sherilyn said in her original presentation about the precedence of amending an open space easement deed restriction. You may recall this commission has protected hundreds of acres through easements and restrictions cumulatively. It's a significant resource protection. And ordinarily, we would simply reject an amendment request like this, but it was because of the nature of the original condition language that we felt the commission needed to entertain the amendment. But we think you ought to consider seriously the adverse precedent of amending a previously required open space restriction.
All right. Thank you, staff. Anything else?
Well, just finally, that you would only allow these types of impacts if there is no alternative that exists that would reduce the impacts. And in this particular case, there is a viable alternative, and that's to retain the status quo and the open space protection on the site.
All right. Thank you.
That concludes our comments.
Thank you, staff. Commissioner Wong.
I move that the commission approve proposed amendment to the coastal development permit number 685-282 for the development as proposed by the applicant, and I recommend a no vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Juan, a second by Commissioner Sanchez. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Failure of the motion will result in denial of the permit amendment and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Just very quickly, I think staff has done a good job. There was a reason to put the open space easement on. Removing it would, in fact, violate many of the provisions of the current LCP relative to open space and views and protection of lagoon, and would set a terrible precedent for those instances where we do put on easements, and there are deed restrictions and easements, and there are reasons for them. We don't just do them to begin with for no reason, and removing them would set a terrible precedent.
All right. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. The original project, there was a lot of discussion, a lot of give and take in terms of where the boundary should be, what should be protected, what was the mitigation. I don't want to undo that. There does not seem to be a reason to go back. So this would reverse mitigation that was set aside for the original project, and I don't see why we should do that, as well as I'm concerned about the precedent. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments from commissioners? Seeing none, is there any objection to unanimous no roll call vote on this item? Okay. The commission hereby denies the proposed amendment to the coastal development permit. Thank you, staff. And then we have need for a closed session.
Yes, we do, Madam
Chair.
Would
you like to announce that then? Council?
Yes, we need a closed session of about 15 or 20 minutes.
All right. And then we'll come back into open session after the closed session, but that is the final thing on the agenda for today, is the closed session.
Hey, okay, you've done it again.
Hey, we made it through. Right, we're ready. All right. Thank you. We're back in session out of our closed session, and I would just look to council to see if there's anything to report.
Yes, thank you. The commission received litigation information and advice in the matter of Sterling versus California Coastal Commission, and agreed to accept a rehearing of a settlement proposal.
All right. Thank you very much. And Charles, did you have anything else?
Just to see you next month in San Luis Obispo.
All right. Thanks to all the commissioners for being here today and staff. Excellent job. All right. Well, we're adjourned.